Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
You know, life is a series of decisions, and we can all look back and see wrong decisions. How would you like to look forward and guarantee yourself that the next great decisions you make are right? Well, next on Daily in the Word, we're going to study the Word of God with Dr. Paul Chappell and uncover life's greatest decisions. Stay with us. There really is something invaluable about a well-made decision. So often we make decisions by whim or by emotion or by our best educated guess. The fact is, life is filled with life-changing, altering decisions. Decisions that are like dominoes, that have consequences, that unfold to other decisions and other paths in life. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell is going to examine with us life's greatest decisions. These are decisions that as you make them according to the Word and will of God, you'll look back on and have no regrets. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the teaching and the preaching of Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. You can join us every Monday through Friday right here for this Bible study. Before we join today's message, I do want to encourage you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org, especially if you'd like to subscribe to the Daily Devotional from Dr. Chappell, or if you'd like to subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast and take this program with you to listen to at your convenience. These resources and much, much more are all found at dailyintheword.org. Today we're opening to the Word of God, Luke chapter 1, deciding to surrender to the Lord. We're going to study Mary's decision to give in to the will of God.
She was being told that she would have a child without knowing a man. She was being told about the news of the baby. She was perplexed by it. She was perplexed by the name of the baby. Imagine being told that you would bring forth a child into the world and that he had already been named. And the Bible says that his name is Jesus. And by the way, I love that name, Jesus, don't you? The name Jesus means he will save. And by the way, he will save. He'll save anyone from their sin. His name is Jesus. And she was told his name. What a wonderful name. I love that name. I try to teach our children to love and respect that name and not to say that name in a slang fashion, not to abbreviate the name and say it in some way that demeans it. It's a wonderful name. And I believe today that while there are many in the ACLU and many in the teachers' unions today who are taking the name of Jesus out of the songs that are sung at Christmas time for our school programs and out of public places, and while there are many who despise that name, they will hear it this month over and over and over again. It's a wonderful name. It's an easy name, Jesus. Even a child can say that name. You know, in 1 Chronicles, there's a man whose name is Tilgath-Pilneser. In Isaiah, there is a man whose name is Maher Shalal Hashbaz. How many of you are glad his name is Jesus? It's an easy name. It's an esteemed name. You say that name anywhere around the world, and believers and unbelievers alike will pause for a moment, and they'll have to contemplate, who is Jesus? They'll have to ask themselves, did God have a son? This name is an esteemed name. This name is an enduring name. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 21, it is the high and lifted up name of the Bible. This name is an eternal name. And when history ends and all of those who made it are fallen, this name will continue on, for it is an eternal name. This name is an exclusive name, for the Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. His name shall be called Jesus. And we see that Mary was perplexed about the news of the baby and the name of the baby, and she was perplexed about the nature of the baby. Notice what the Bible says in verse 32. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. I very much appreciated the song the young people sang this morning. Oh, that song had it right. When it said of Jesus Christ that from the manger to the cross to the throne of David, Jesus would ascend. I like these songs that have good theology in them, don't you? That tell us about who Jesus really is. That Jesus Christ was born in the manger. That Jesus Christ would die on the old rugged cross. That Jesus Christ will come again and fulfill the Davidic promise that he will rule and reign on the kingdom and throne of David over all of this world. Matthew 1 and verse 1 says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. 2 Samuel 7 and verse 12, and when thy days be fulfilled and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. This is what God says about the throne of David, that it will be established forever by the Lord Jesus. Revelation 19 and verse 16, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus did not establish that kingdom at his first advent, but my friend, when he comes again, he will establish the kingdom that was promised unto David. And of his kingdom, the Bible says in verse 33, there shall be no end. How we thank God for the eternal kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Mary, though she was a godly woman, was confronted with this impossible promise. How could this be? How could she be a part of such a wonderful event? How could these things come to pass? And when you are confronted with an impossible situation, when you are confronted with something that is beyond your own ability to understand, what should you do at that moment? I want to show you what Mary did. I want you to notice in the third place that Mary contemplated the power of God. When you face an impossible situation, I encourage you not to look at your bank account. That could be depressing. Not to look at your circle of friends. They could be less than desirable. Not to try to figure out in your own wisdom how this could come to pass. When you face the impossible, I encourage you to look at the power of God that is available to you. Notice in verse 35, the Bible says, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the 6th month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Let's read verse 37 together. Shall we? Ready? Begin. For with God nothing shall be impossible. One more time. For with God... Mary had simply asked the question, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? How can this come to pass? And the bottom line answer was this, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Back in 1986 and 1987, I was the song director for our church. I was the choir leader, and I want you to know the music was good in those days too. Now, it's great now, but it was good back then. One of the songs the choir often sang on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights was a little chorus that said, "Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God." And there will come times in your life when you are faced with the impossible. How can this be? How will this come to pass? And we must remember that with God, all things are possible. I want you to see a verse that's one of my favorites, and I placed it in the notes this morning. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." I want you to know something this morning. God is thinking about you this morning. I want you to know He has thoughts toward you. I want you to know He has a plan for the way He wants your life to end. I want you to know that when Jesus was on the cross, He had you on His mind. I want you to know He cares for you, and He wants you to realize that no matter what your impossible situation, that He is there for you, and that He loves you this morning. And so God comes to Mary and He says, "I know it seems impossible, but I want you to know this will happen by my power and by my might." Notice the power of God, first of all, to create. The power of God to create. Notice in verse number 35, "The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee." This immaculate, this miraculous conception would not come after the manner of men, but God's Spirit would activate and God's Spirit would create by the very word of God that was spoken. This miracle would be a miracle that would become a miracle because of the word of God. The Bible says the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. God Himself would superintend in the process. God Himself would see that this conception would be holy and pure and wonderful. Spurgeon said of this wonderful miracle, "He who never began to be, but eternally existed, began to be what He was eternally not, and continued to be what He eternally was." Jesus Christ was God in eternity past. He was God in eternity past. But Jesus Christ began to be what He was eternally not when He was conceived in Mary's womb. And He continued to be what He eternally was as He lived that perfectly sinless life for 33 and one half years. This is what John's gospel speaks of when it says, "And the Word, the eternally preexistent Word, the eternal Word, Jesus Christ, became flesh." And this was what took place when Jesus was born. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father." Someone says, how did that happen? How did eternal God become man? And how was He God and man at the same time? And the answer is because of the power of God. For with God nothing shall be impossible. All things are possible. The power of God to create is clearly seen. But then we must understand, secondly, the power of God to redeem. For God did not bring this wonderful moment to pass without cause or without reason, but it was for the redemption of all men. Verse 35 says it this way, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Jesus Christ was the God-man. He was the Son of God. He had a divine and human nature. And we see that God incarnate came to save the sins of the entire world, and that in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we know this morning that there are cults, American cults, which deny this teaching. There are cults of the Middle East section of this world spreading rampantly, denying that God ever had a son, denying that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, denying the eternal nature of Jesus Christ. And yet I say to you this morning that He came to atone for the sins of the entire world. And as the God-man, He has power to save us from our sin. He lived a perfectly sinless life and then died on the cross and shed His blood so that our sins might be forgiven. And that's why we hear of the verse John 3:16 so often. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him," Jesus, "is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, My friend, God is not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want anyone to spend eternity in hell. He doesn't want anyone to be separated from him. And so he says, whosoever believeth on him will not perish, but have everlasting life. What a joy to know this morning that we can have life and life eternal because of this miracle of God for you and for me. This past week, there was a couple from our church, the Valencia family. Mrs. Valencia's kidneys were failing. The doctor said, if you do not have a kidney donor within the next several days, we do not believe you will live any longer. Mr. Valencia asked the doctor if he could give one of his kidneys to his wife. And as they did the test, they found that there was compatibility. And so Monday, as they went into the hospital, side by side, they laid on surgical tables. And there, Mr. Valencia's kidney was taken from his body and placed into his wife's body so that she might have a functioning kidney. And today, she is alive and recovering there in the hospital because of the sacrifice that her husband made. But far greater than that, my friend, more than 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, who is eternal God, who had never seen the sinfulness of this world, who had never seen the wickedness and the hurt and the harm that would come to him in this world, voluntarily came down, was born in that manger so that you and I might have the forgiveness of our sin. Mary could not understand all of this until she realized it would be by the power of the Holy Ghost that it would take place. But notice, if you would, not only did Mary contemplate the power of God, but then she came to that place where Mary consented to the will of God. Mary consented to God's will. Now listen, it's one thing to hear a preacher preach about God's power. It's one thing to read the Bible and learn about God's power. And it's another thing to trust God. It's another thing to say, God, I trust you with this matter. And we see that Mary consented to God's will. I don't know what it is this morning with which you must trust God. But I know there may be some temptation, some trial, some circumstance with your life, with your business, with your family, where you must simply say, Lord, I surrender my life to you. This is what Mary did. Notice in verse 38, the Bible says, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Would you say that little phrase with me? We sang it a moment ago. Be it unto me according to thy... One more time. Be it unto me according to thy... She didn't say, you know, I've never seen a glow like I saw around that angel. I've never seen such an experience of this sort. So I'm going to trust in the experience I just had. Some people, I ask them, how do you know that you're on your way to heaven? They'll say, oh, I was in the hospital one day, and as I was laying there, I saw an overpowering light, and I felt the warmth all over my body. By the way, those are called operating lights. Mary wasn't putting her faith in the experience she had. And we as Bible-believing Baptists must not trust in experience. But notice what it says. She said, be it unto me according to thy what? Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if you are going to trust God with your impossible situation, then do not trust what I say. Do not trust what a church says. Do not trust what your emotions feel. But you must put your trust in the word of God. Mary put her trust in God's word. Notice, first of all, she presented herself to the Lord. She presented herself to the Lord. Now listen, you may not know what to get someone for Christmas this year, but I can tell you what to give someone. I can tell you what to give God this year at Christmas. Give Him your whole life. Lord, I present myself to you. You may not know what to get others. I know for many husbands, it's a tough thing to know. What do you get your wife for Christmas? I'd like to give you guys some quick counsel on that. I want to, first of all, say don't buy clothing that involves sizes. The chances are 1 in 7,000 that you'll get it right. And the other 6,999 times you'll offend her. So just stay away from sizes. Secondly, avoid all things useful. The new silver polish advertised to save hundreds of hours is not going to gain you any brownie points on Christmas morning. Avoid that. Thirdly, don't buy jewelry. The jewelry your wife wants, you cannot afford. And the jewelry that you can afford, she doesn't want. So avoid that. Fourthly, don't spend too much. If you spend too much, she's going to ask, how did you think we could afford this? And if you spend too little, she's going to say, is this all I'm worth to you? It's a tough thing to know what to get somebody. But I'm going to tell you, there's no guessing about what God wants. God wants us to say, Lord, I present myself to you. Is that not what Jesus did in the garden, Luke 22:42? Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. God, if it takes my whole surrendered life, my physical body as a sacrifice, if this is what you require, then not my will, but thine be done. And we see that Mary presents herself to the Lord. But notice, secondly, Mary consented her will to his word. My will for his word. She says, let it be unto me according to thy word. The psalmist said, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. And sometimes there are things in the word that are hard to understand, or should I say, that we don't want to understand right at first. No one, for example, likes to be told that they're a sinner. No one wants to hear that. But until you confess your sin, you will never truly see your need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Some people do not like to hear what the Word says about surrendering to God or surrendering to a husband or a wife, much the less to God. Some do not want to hear about turning the other cheek. Some do not want to hear about forgiving or giving or everything in between. There's just some things in the Word that we can rebel against. But Mary said, I'm not going to rebel at this. I don't understand how it's all going to come to pass. And so by faith, Mary consented according to the Word of God. And there may be an area of your life where you need to surrender today. It may be baptism. It may be some matter of forgiving your spouse. It may be in the area of being faithful to God. I don't know the area this morning, but we must be willing, like Mary, to say, Lord, I don't know how this is going to happen, but I'm willing to surrender my will to you. Now, I don't know what you might be facing today, but I know that Mary's a wonderful example for all of us. She said, Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And some of you, for your whole life, perhaps have tried to live your life your way, and you've heard a little bit of the Bible and a little bit of your philosophy and a little bit of the Bible and a little bit of this and that. But Mary came to that place where she said, now my philosophy is not going to help me figure this out. And my traditions will not help me figure this out. So Lord, I'll just put my trust in your word. Are you facing an impossible situation, something that you do not understand today? Then I urge you today to come to the Word of God and trust Him and let Him guide and direct you. If you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ personally as your Savior, you have never seen this child in a manger who became the living sacrifice and ultimately the one who died for our sin. If you've never seen Him as your personal Savior, if you've never said, Lord Jesus, as a sinner, I ask you to come into my heart and forgive my sin, then I want to tell you the greatest Christmas gift you will ever receive is to receive Jesus Christ personally as your Savior this morning. And I urge you to come to Him today while it is time. Father, thank you for this time to learn from Mary the necessity of surrendering unto you. Lord, if there's someone here today whose life is not surrendered, maybe they're going through a hardship and right now they're rebelling against you, and all the while you're asking them to surrender to you. Lord, maybe they're facing an impossible situation today. Lord, I don't know what it is, but I know that Mary gives us a wonderful example of just saying, Lord, whatever you say, I will do.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell. He's been teaching a series entitled Life's Greatest Decisions. And I want to encourage you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org and find out about Pastor Chappell's newest book, Stewarding Life. If this series is resonating with you, Stewarding Life will help you take your limited resources and align them with eternal priorities. You're going to want to take a look at and enjoy reading Dr. Chappell's newest book, Stewarding Life. You can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Friend, if you haven't trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I hope you'll do that right now. I hope you'll bow your head and heart wherever you may be and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your personal Savior, your only Savior. Place your full trust in Him and accept His great gift of salvation. If you have questions about that, we sure would love to talk with you about it. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment. Don't forget, you can visit us online and find out a lot more about Daily in the Word and the ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell. On our website, you'll find a daily devotional along with an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading for every day. This complimentary devotional can come straight to your email box and help remind you every day to walk with God. If you follow it along throughout the year, you'll read through the Bible in a year. You'll find this and many other resources on the website, including this series with its recent broadcast. And you can subscribe complimentary to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word to your computer, your phone, or your iPod, and take it with you to listen to at your convenience. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you'd like to call us, we sure would love to hear from you. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that number is 1-800-201-7748. Or you can write to us at Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.